It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm David Asman.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Russia's war against Ukraine is mostly viewed as a war on land. Convoys of tanks try taking cities. Ukrainian fighters try to hold them off. But there's also a naval war in progress. But can Russia keep control of the Black Sea?
The risk there, though, is that you have U.S. warships and Russian warships in a time of war in the same body of water.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
You've heard of valiant Ukrainian attempts to retake their cities and to overpower Russian artillery. You've even heard of the Ukrainian sinking of a Russian flagship in the Black Sea. But that wasn't Russia's only warship in the Black Sea. And that sea is how Ukraine, up until a few months ago, shipped its prize export, its grain. The ships would leave the Ukrainian coast, travel the Black Sea to a canal in Turkey, then out to the Mediterranean, the Atlantic Ocean, and the world. Russia has stopped all that activity, but would NATO help here?
As you start to get food insecurity in places like the north of Africa, then you see militant organizations like Boko Haram, like ISIS, like Al-Shabaab, they start to become more empowered because they can control the food that gets in. People need it more. They can control it more. They have better control of the people. So they rise in power.
Fox News correspondent Mike Tobin is a veteran war correspondent. He talks about how Russia might not be so quick to start a war with NATO at sea. And the goal would be to expedite Ukraine's shipment of its grain, which not only enriches Ukraine, it feeds Africa, where food is growing scarce, and other bad actors are waiting to take advantage of that situation. He joins us once again from the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv.
You get more world destabilization when you get this food insecurity, and that is why General Christopher Cavoli, who looks like he is on the fast track to become the NATO Supreme Allied Commander, he has suggested the possibility of getting NATO warships involved in securing the route of these big tankers coming and going from Ukraine. And I know that President Zelensky had a conversation with President Erdogan of Turkey today. All of the traffic that comes in and out of the Black Sea has to go through Turkey. The risk there, though, is that you have U.S. warships and Russian warships in a time of war in the same body of water. And what everybody talks about whenever you talk about this conflict is the risk of something happening that would cause that fast slide down into the Third World War. When I talk with people out here, particularly I was talking with Ambassador Volker, who was the U.S. ambassador to NATO, who was a special representative to Ukraine, and he says essentially that the Russians are so extended right now. Clearly, they're taxing their resources, and if they weren't taxing their resources, they would be doing a better job. He thinks they are so extended right now that Russia just would not take the risk of doing anything provocative with a warship. And then as far as the U.S. making a mistake, he says you just got to have some faith in the professionalism of the U.S. Navy.
But even if the U.S. Navy weren't to do this, a NATO warship, let's say if it came from the United Kingdom or from France, would Russia not see that as offensive? Would this not be playing directly into their hand, saying that if there's any aggression from NATO, we will respond? I mean, it just seems that a warship, armed in their waters, or what they perceive to be their waters, would do exactly that.
Well, obviously, I've got to prognosticate to answer that question, but
sure.
It would play right into their PR narrative. You know, they say that the reason they invaded Ukraine was because the West was coming this way, and because also that whole stuff about Nazis being abusive to the Russian-speaking citizens in the east of Ukraine. To answer your question, it certainly could play into the PR narrative that they're out to get us. But as far as them looking at a provocation and taking it up a notch, at least the experts that I've talked to at this point said Russia's just not going to do it because they don't have the resources for the bigger fight other than nuclear weapons.
And I think both sides don't really want to go there. That doesn't really solve anyone's problem. I think that's I think both sides agree to that, at least at this point. Let's talk more about the actual exporting of the grain. You talked about the end in Africa, about the food insecurity and the rise of terrorist groups like Boko Haram that could take advantage of that precarious situation. But let's talk about the situation economically in Ukraine. Ukraine's historically has been known as the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. Their grain exporting is how they have always made a big chunk of their money. It's how they keep their GDP up as high as they can. Not being able to export them has put them in some seriously precarious situations over the past couple of months. Obviously, the war has done that as a whole, but not being able to do business the way they normally do has been a bit crippling for them, wouldn't you say?
It's interesting. So it's one more problem. Obviously, the war itself has had a devastating effect on their GDP. And I was talking with a Ukrainian member of parliament who represents Odessa, who said that you've got three ships sitting in the port of Odessa, and they're full. And the grain, the produce that they've got in their tanks is just sitting. And he couldn't really speak to the status of those shipments. But it goes bad. Now, one of the big exports they have here is sunflower oil, and I'm really not an expert on how that kind of thing would preserve. But I assume that the oil would stay okay, even if it's not refrigerated. But I know enough from being around the Midwest, if you've got other things, if you've got the wheat, and it's sitting in a moist environment like around the sea, it's going to go bad.
You've been listening to our conversation with Fox News correspondent Mike Tobin, who once again is reporting from Kyiv, on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Mike Tobin straight ahead. Obviously, any type of produce is going to have a shelf life, and if you're dependent on making money from that, you really are going to run out of usable supply, and of course, the having a war makes it hard to replant. Let's talk more about your conversation with Ambassador Volker. Obviously, he's got a lot on his mind and on his plate these days. So, what more did he share with you that you could share with us?
Well, that was kind of the backbone of our conversation. That it is not a move without risk, but he was in a hurry when I talked to him, so I just got in a couple of questions, and that was the backbone of it. He thinks it involves risk when you put warships facing each other down out to sea, especially in such a tense environment like this. But he thought that in terms of the risk, it's just not there because the Russians won't do anything provocative, even if they do feel that it is insulting to have NATO warships show up here. But he said what you know is increasing the whole time you have this food insecurity is what we talked about before. The rise of militants, the destabilization in some of these countries that are not that secure in the first place. So food insecurity is worldwide insecurity. So it seems that every bend in the road, we're looking at another threat to more destabilization and more of a threat to a wider conflict. So that's why he thinks essentially you got to choose the lesser of evils. And the lesser of evils would be the risk with the Russians, because he doesn't think that they would want to fight someone else where they're so bogged down with this fight.
Mike Tobin, Fox News in Kyiv. Thank you so much again for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
You bet.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.